At last night's Fox News Republican debate, moderator Bret Baier asked candidate John Kasich who's lagging behind the other contenders. What lies ahead?
On Super Tuesday, you finished in single digits in 9 out of 11 states. So you can see that your path is through a contested convention. How do you get
there? Well, Bret, I think we're all really there.
But this morning, Republican National Committee Chair Reince Priebus, speaking at the Conservative Political Action Conference in D.C., said this.
I would just say what I've always said. I think the odds of a contested convention are very small.
A contested or brokered convention. It's being mentioned a lot more after Mitt Romney's excoriating speech about Donald Trump, the frontrunner, yesterday. NPR's Scott Detrow has been watching things today and last night. Scott, start with that Fox News debate. It was rowdy. Rubio and Cruz hammering Donald Trump on immigration policies, his hiring practices, Trump swinging back. But did we learn anything new about how, you know, they'd fight ISIS or create jobs?
There were some moments of substance in there. You know, of course, I think the big headline was that moment. And we'll just allude to it and keep it there. But,
okay.
You know, things were said on the stage that you don't expect to ever hear at a presidential debate.
Leave it there.
But, yeah, we'll leave it there. There were some issues that came up. One was the idea of guest worker visas, which has been an ongoing issue because it gets into the issue of immigration and how to overhaul the immigration system, which is, of course, has been front and center throughout this campaign for Republicans and Democrats. You know, Donald Trump was asked about the fact that he's contradicted himself a couple times, that on his website he said he's adamantly opposed to any sort of special circumstances for people, skilled workers. And Donald Trump said that, you know what, I've changed my mind on that. He says there's value for people who have specific skills, specifically in places like Silicon Valley. And he said, look, that's an area where I have a different opinion than I did before, and that's because I've learned on this issue. I think another interesting moment was when Marco Rubio was asked about the water crisis in Flint, Michigan. I think that was the only moment that came up, but Marco Rubio did discuss it. He called this a systematic breakdown of government. Rubio also said that he thinks that the Flint, Michigan water crisis has been overly politicized.
And anything else, you know, that where we learn something about how somebody feels about policy? I mean, these have just sort of deteriorated.
Well, I think one reason that they've kind of deteriorated, to put it that way, is I think that Donald Trump has an ability to make every debate exchange a home court fight for him. I mean, the last couple of debates, we've had Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz aggressively fire everything they had on Donald Trump. And, you know, their issues were in there as well. I'd argue that the way that Donald Trump has run his business is an issue. Donald Trump's viewpoint on immigration, whether he thinks that this wall that he talks so much about is possible, that is an issue. But the way that we think about these debates is that they kind of become a free-for-all, because what Donald Trump very successfully does is kind of turn it to more of a reality TV show type thing, where he's a lot more experienced than Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz, because what he'll do is he'll cut the other person off. He'll insult them. He'll call Ted Cruz a liar. He'll call Marco Rubio Little Marco. And then what happens is they're trying to talk over Trump. Trump's trying to talk over them. And you get this crazy, muddled circus soundbite. And you kind of forget that the main attack that Ted Cruz or Marco Rubio was trying to make on Donald Trump.
Well, what about this possibility of a brokered, a contested convention when a candidate like Trump, a frontrunner, might not have the number of delegates he needs to just walk in, and when they take the first ballot, you know, he doesn't secure the nomination. What exactly does that mean?
Well, what it would be is something that we haven't seen in a very long time. On the Republican side, you have to go back to, I believe, 1948. And what this is that you go into the convention and it's not preordained. You don't have the presumptive nominee who has the delegates needed to automatically win on that first ballot. That's 1,237 delegates is what we're talking about on the Republican side here. And basically, again, everybody has to dust off their Robert's Rules of Order, because this hasn't happened in so long. But that first vote where all the states vote, you know, that's pledged. That's determined by primaries and caucuses. But if somebody didn't have the delegates needed to win that nomination on the first ballot, after that first ballot, everybody's up for grabs. And that's where the brokered phrase comes in, because then it's all about historically deal cutting on the convention floor. You'll have, you know, regional groupings of, you know, the Northeast will vote for one person and deals get cut. And that's how things used to happen. But it hasn't happened for a very long time. It almost happened in 1976. But Gerald Ford was able to muster up the delegates he needed just on the eve of the convention.
Yeah. And just briefly, Scott, the word contested convention, we know because we were hearing from listeners, people misinterpret that. They think that means you can contest it. So just to be straight about this, if any candidate comes in with the number of delegates needed, you know, the majority that they need, can another candidate then have some sort of a floor fight and say, I contest this?
I think the short answer is basically no. That would be very, yeah, very, very tough to do. And that, you could argue, would be far more damaging to a party than a nominee that a lot of people in the party like. If somebody comes in with the will of the voters in that party and is denied the nomination, yeah, that would lead to a lot of problems.
NPR's political reporter Scott Detrow in this incredible season. Scott, thank you.
Thank you.